Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On that Maundy Thursday evening, Jesus spoke to his disciples about the events that they would witness and participate in over the next couple of days. The final verses of our reading pick up on this very fact. Jesus, our Lord, said, "Behold, the hour is coming. Behold, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Had the disciples been sharp, like our confirmation students, they would have gotten the picture from Jesus early on in his ministry. We know from Mark, for instance, that he spoke plainly about his impending suffering, death, and resurrection. But the disciples, like most students these days, had to go in one ear and out the other. On Maundy Thursday evening in the upper room discourse, Jesus' words finally hit home. We heard last week that the disciples were troubled at what Jesus was saying to them about Jesus going away. They finally figured out that Jesus was going to die. Jesus said those things and the things in our reading today so that the disciples would be prepared. And Jesus even says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace." These should be comforting words, even still today. The world has certainly become more hostile to Christ and his church. There's no doubt about that. There's ever-growing fears that the government will take away tax-exempt status, or so on and so forth. A Lutheran bishop and one of his members will be on trial yet again, even though they've been exonerated twice for hate speech crimes over in the Nordic countries. The appeals court also exonerated them once before. What did they say? They spoke the truth in love concerning human sexuality from a biblical perspective. And if you've been paying attention to what was just passed, you might even say the Gospel of John is now considered anti-Semitic hate speech. We are afraid of the tribulation that may rain down on us. But Jesus says, expect it. This is a divine promise. You will have tribulation. But you are blessed for it. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, none of this means that we should all go out and try to get martyred or something like that. The Lord may bring us, some of us, to that point, but that is our Lord's doing, not our own. We are simply called to trust him. We are called to trust in the words of Jesus. Yes, we will have tribulation in the world, but remember the words, take heart, I have overcome the world. What can the world do if you are united to Jesus Christ? You can lose a lot of material goods in this age, but what they cannot take is the everlasting life stored up for you in Christ Jesus. This is why the martyrs of the faith were able to stand and endure what they did. They look beyond the material goods of this world and life. They, by God's grace, held more tightly to the promise that Christ made to them in their holy baptism and the sacrament of the altar. For Christ claims them as his own. You are mine. You are clothed in my righteousness. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. My blood is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Recline at my table and feast on that which endures to eternal life. The tribulations that we will face and already are facing only lasts for a little while. You should already know this, but we're no different from the disciples. We don't always take to heart what we hear, nor do we hold on to Jesus' words as well as we probably ought to. Tribulation and suffering come to an end for those washed in the blood of the Lamb. This is so because Christ, our champion, has overcome not only the world, but death and Satan himself by his death and by his resurrection. Christ has done these things so that you may have peace. Rejoice and be glad. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, because his steadfast love endures forever. We who suffer now will be vindicated in the end, and we shall stand in triumph thanks to the blood of the Lamb. Our Lord said these things so that his disciples might have peace. It's beautiful and comforting to realize that when the disciples were hiding away on that first Easter evening, they're probably in the same room that they were in for Maundy Thursday. Jesus was speaking about giving disciples peace, and the first word that he speaks to his disciples upon his resurrection is peace. What we have here in the text of John is a literary device called an inclusio. Jesus ends talking to his disciples in the upper room on the topic of peace. And then Jesus, upon his resurrection, brings that same peace now to his disciples. How awesome and wonderful and comforting is that? The disciples would endure tribulation during the time between these two declarations. They would indeed scatter as the Good Shepherd was struck by God the Father himself. These disciples would undergo suffering as they watched Jesus be arrested, tried, and beaten, mocked, and crucified. They would suffer and even lose hope in Jesus for a period of time. Think of the Emmaus Road disciples, as well as Thomas. And yet, the resurrected Lord called them all back to himself and restored them, not only giving them the peace, but also forgiving them, giving them a peace which the world cannot comprehend or understand. And upon giving them this peace, called them out to go out as his ambassadors into the world to preach the good news that sins are forgiven for the sake of Christ's death and resurrection. This peace which the disciples received is not merely given to them so that they may only have it. The peace which they are to enjoy is to be preached to all the nations. The disciples did not lose that peace as they went out as Christ's apostles and witnesses. Rather, they went in strength because of this peace. They certainly heard the word, and because of such peace, they were able to endure great hardship. Many would even lose their earthly lives because of what they proclaimed concerning Jesus Christ, Lord and King. And through it all, these apostles did not waver in that proclamation because they were given the peace of the Lord Jesus. They trusted the promise that they were blessed by Christ with everlasting life. a life that could not be taken away from them, even as the world tortured them. So what of us here at Christ? You and I are still in the world, and we lack many things. The disciples who walked with Jesus asked him to increase their faith in him. We too lack when it comes to faith and trust and love for God. The only way to have more is to ask of God. Because faith is a true gift. It's not something you and I are able to manifest in ourselves. Oh, sure, we can discipline our bodies to be in church and to go to Bible study more often. And those things are good and right disciplines. But the law to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy is not what produces good works. It informs you what a good work is, but it does not motivate you to do it. Rather, faith in Christ's saving work produces and prods good works to follow in tow. And it's very likely that those who have a disciplined church and Bible attendance already have faith urging them to keep that discipline going. For that is how faith continues to grow and how faith is to be nurtured. As we heard it last week, it's to our benefit that our Lord Jesus ascend to his Father. For then the Helper would come. He was talking about the Holy Spirit, whose work is to make everything that belongs to Jesus yours. When Jesus speaks about granting peace, the Holy Spirit delivers such peace to you and I, as we hear and receive the preaching of Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. And like those who came before us, we are not to be solely hearers of that word. They acted on the word that was preached and proclaimed to them. They became doers of that word. They were able to be doers of that word, even amid great tribulation and strife, because of the faith, as well as the peace that they were granted. What can the world do to me if I'm in Christ? And what should we be doing most often? Jesus tells us, ask. Jesus tells us in his word to ask of our Father in heaven, or to pray to our Father who knows exactly what we need at all times. He will give those things which are good, right, and salutary. Ask most especially for the continued strengthening of your faith. For that is what we all need when it comes to everlasting life. In this world, you will face tribulation. You'll even face trying times here in the church. And perhaps you feel a burden of the coming cross. Becoming a Christian does not make life more simple. In fact, it makes life harder. A Christian is to be different from the rest of the world, and the world knows it. And so the world attacks with its allurements, and Satan would love to watch you fall. Satan tried to sift Peter like wheat, but Jesus prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. Ask the Father in heaven that your own faith not fail in the time of test and trip and temptation. But trust that the Lord cares for you and loves you. Endure with that trust, trusting that your Father, who hears your prayers, will indeed answer them. Know this as love. And do what his word tells you to do. Take and eat. Take and drink. For then the love of Christ not only enters you as you participate in the sacrament, but by your eating and drinking, as you hear Christ's promise, you are granted the peace which surpasses all understanding. And knowing such peace, you are free to be doers of the word without fear. For Christ's peace goes with you now and always, because he has overcome the world. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you unto life everlasting. Amen. Amen.